All right, so how's your audio there, Robbie?
Mine's good, man.
How about it there, John? Your audio good?
Sounds good over here.
All right, so let's get this thing going. Blow things like ace. Welcome, everybody, to another Georgia Archery Podcast. Podcast number
five. Man, rolling right along, dude.
That's right. We're putting them out just as fast as we can. And today we have a guest with us. Today's guest is Mr. John Powell. Say hello.
What's going on, Georgia?
All right. So,
what's up, Johnny? How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm really happy to be here. Love Ace Archery. Love what you guys been doing, promoting. And just excited to be here, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about traditional archery today.
Well, there's the key. We've had some people ask, and we have some trad guys that go, hey, find a trad guy and let him talk a little bit. So we found a trad guy.
We found one.
And so he's here to talk about traditional archery. But first, let's talk about the man, the myth, the legend himself, Johnny Powell. So give us a little background on your archery and life itself.
Well, I started shooting archery when I was 10. My dad took I'm a damn Yankee, so I'm originally from New Jersey, so don't hold it against
me. You're above that Macon-Dixon line that we were talking about last night.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
And dude, my wife heard that podcast. She's like, they're talking about Yankees on this thing. I said, nah, they're all right. It ain't hostile territory.
We're just good old country boys, man.
Well, listen, I've been here for 6 years. I put enough time in the woods to consider myself a Georgian. So my story in archery, you know, I started when I was 10. My dad owned a gym, and he had these glass cases like you guys have for display. Mm-hmm. And he traded the local archery guy for my bow. So he did like a trade. And I had a little Hoyt bow. It had like a little apple on it. It was pretty cool. But I shot fingers with a tab and a sight. I didn't have a peep sight, no trigger release. And that's how I started. And then took kind of like a long hiatus from it. I was pretty competitive in high school and college wrestling.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Was that hiatus because you was on the mat?
I was, yeah, pretty active in that. Summer leagues. You just when you wrestled where I'm from, it was your life. So you know,
wrestling up in Jersey is kind of like the baseball
and football.
And football is here.
Correct.
Gotcha.
So it's life. You know, it's life.
You're in the gym early in the morning. You're going to school. You're practicing, and then you're back in the gym or something.
It's really an obsession, and that's this obsession kind of led to my archery addiction, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you got to kind of fill that void. But like you guys, I love this stuff, you know, so can't get enough of it. But so when I got into college and I wrestled at Delaware Valley College, before that junior, I was a junior college All-American. And I got involved with some of these PA boys who are on my team. So I don't know if you guys knew this, but in Pennsylvania, they used to do it. I don't know if they still do it now. But they used to close the school down for the day so the sons can go hunt with the fathers. Wow. So that would be opening day of bow season, deer season. They would close down.
All right, Georgia legislators and school board directors and whomever else that has some pull, y'all need to hear that right there. Close the school down for opening. Saturday. We'll close Friday down so we can all drive down to the property, get camp set up, and get ready to
win. That sounds like a good deal
to bow hunt the next morning with our kids. I like it. I wonder if we could get like Ted and Joel to allow us to take off work. And
you get so many sick days.
Yeah, but dude, that's the day before archery season in the state of Georgia. If you think that's going to happen?
No, that ain't going to happen.
No. All right, carry on, man.
Gone hunting, hanging on the door. That's not going to work.
Yeah, that ain't going to work.
So just like we're talking about football and baseball in Georgia, it's wrestling and hunting in Pennsylvania. So Jersey actually has a rich archery background, pretty good deer. You wouldn't believe the turkey up there. You'd be shocked. I mean, the turkey up there smokes the turkey down here.
Really?
Yep.
My dad shot something that you hear about on your on TV or, you know, your hunt shows on TV.
Like, you see Canadian geese in the field here. If you're in South Jersey where it's a lot of farms, it is the Garden State, you will see flocks of turkey in the fields.
Wow.
Like geese, like Canadian geese.
I've heard of guys of going to Texas and Kansas and Florida to shoot birds, but I've never heard anybody say, I'm going to Jersey to shoot a turkey. Huh.
You'd be shocked, but it's...
Now, can somebody out of state, so can
absolutely.
Can I go by and go up and buy an over-the-counter turkey tag or license?
I think how it is there, like I said, I haven't been there for 6 years. It might have changed because there is a ton of turkeys, but there is like A, B, C, and D, and those are it's a one-month thing, but you buy the week. So you apply, the best week to get obviously is A, but you apply for those weeks. And then I think an E tag would be the weekends throughout that whole month, like if you can only do it on the weekends.
Right.
So A and the weekend tags are the most sought out ones. But you can get lucky with a B, C, or D tag. And, if you still find them strutting.
Hmm.
But, those PA boys, I used to, after wrestling practice, we go shoot bows. And, there are a bunch of good old boys up there, too. And I learned a lot from them. I got back into it. My dad actually wound up buying a Matthews switchback at that time. And I inherited his old PSE. I think it was an Edge 1050 series PSE. It was like a 65-pound bow.
Mm-hmm.
And I wound up killing a deer out of a ground blind in South Jersey.
How about that?
With that, I think I killed two deer with that bow. I was shooting a 23-15s aluminum with feathers.
Overdraw.
Yes, yep. And I was shooting, which are still good broadheads, the Knapp vented 125 grains. Mm-hmm. You could go to Dick's Sporting Goods up there and or any local sporting goods shop and get them for pretty cheap, pennies on a dollar.
Well,
so
we used to could get everything pretty cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, so, as I transitioned out of that area, I used to work up there, and I ran when I was working in Pennsylvania. I was an arborist doing sales for a big tree company up there, and I was on a property doing a property inspection, real big property, and these guys are riding around doing work, raking, and this one kid I started talking to, and he's like, yeah, my dad makes bows. And I'm like, what do you mean your dad makes bows? And he's like, yeah, my dad makes longbows. And I said, really? And he went in his car and he got me these brochures. And the guy's name was Leon Stewart, who is well-known nationally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was the first traditional bow I paid for. Custom bow was like $900.
And how old were you at that time?
Oh, I think I just got married, 2010. You're making me do math now.
Oh, goodness.
I was probably like 27, 28.
Okay. So you were old enough to understand working for a dollar and actually what a $900 bow really cost and the value of it. Okay. I was just curious.
And we were newlyweds, and you know how it is when you get newlyweds.
Yeah, don't we all?
You're living on pennies on the dollar. So for me to come home and show my wife, man, I'd love to get one of these one day. And she looked at me like, a bow? From this guy's gonna make it in his garage. You're like, yeah, he's great.
It's $900.
Yeah,
that's great.
Did she hit you with a frying pan and ask you what you were thinking next?
No, I'm pretty lucky. My wife's been pretty supportive of my archery endeavors, so I'm lucky with that. So she gets a little annoyed here and there, but hey, it's better than being into other bad things, right?
That's right. It could be worse. That's what I have to tell mine. You know, it could be worse.
Most definitely. You know. Well, you got your first trad bow, and how did that go?
Actually, I wind up accidentally breaking that bow.
Accidentally.
My wife.
Oh, boy.
If she listens to this, I'm dead meat, but she might be listening to this tomorrow morning when we're getting ready.
All right, so Fifth Amendment, right? I plead the fifth. It happened.
This is all hearsay. It's a podcast, so we're doing this for entertainment purposes. So anyway, so once I got that bow, I didn't know nothing about trad, and I was still kind of transitioning from, and a lot of trad guys do transition from compound to trad. And very rare you'll find a guy, and I know them, but I could only count five on my hand that only hunted with a recurve or a longbow or a self bow.
Mm-hmm. All their life. Never played with the wheels.
Correct. So once I started transitioning over, I started getting on deer. Mm-hmm. And then you got to build that confidence. You got to learn when to shoot the deer with a trad bow. You got to learn.
You learn a lot of misses.
Yeah, you learn a lot of misses. So
trial by fire.
So I went to the Byron Ferguson Archery School. So another thing, once I got to Georgia, I started hearing about traditional bow hunters of Georgia, mm-hmm. and they're on GON. That's how I found out about them, and I'd start seeing all these guys putting hogs up and putting turkey up,
right?
Shooting armadillos, you know, putting up some nice deer, and I'm like, man, these guys are bad. I mean, we got some
stone cold killers.
We got some stone cold killers in archery general in Georgia, and you know, these guys are throwing up, I'm talking like 20 hogs a year,
flat laying it down,
Tagging out on deer with trad gear
equipment. Yeah, that's just awesome.
And you never think it's possible. What got me really into it was my uncle gave me a DVD, Fred Eichler Traditional Harvest,
right?
And he was shooting, I think, Dick Palmer bows at the time.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I really started seeing the possibilities of, you know what, I could, if I get good at this, I could,
you could do this.
I'm not Fred, but you know, I think I can do that. If I could get 15 to 20 yards within an animal and place a good shot where it's supposed to go with a properly tuned arrow, that's an important factor there.
Right, we'll get into that.
Yep, you know, it's a slam dunk, and once you put that hands on that animal, I mean, it really pulls it all together for you, and it's a really great feeling.
Now, how long did it take you to, from start of shooting a trad bow up until your first kill?
A while, because I would hunt compound but like mess around with the trad bow out back or shoot targets. And the thing I never knew I could, you know, thank God I met you and Big John, because I never knew I could take I never had lessons. A lot of people are self-taught.
That's a fact.
Self-taught mistakes. So I would buy these heavier bows.
John, that's a podcast for another day. You know how much money we could save people.
Yeah,
but then again,
but I wish I started out, you know, because, you know, you think compound and trad are two different things. So you really need to learn the right way, your technique, because you could get hurt. So what I did is, hey, I had a 70-pound Matthews that I was slamming deer with. I had a adrenaline, mm-hmm. smoking everything in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I bought bows that were, I wouldn't say overbowed, but
overbowed.
I would say 60.
Overbowed.
If you're, overbowed.
These guys that go out and get these 60-pound bows, hey, all power to you. That's great. But that arrow wants to come out of your finger so fast that I was actually missing technique. That it was high to my technique because that arrow just wants to go.
Right.
And, you know, I get lucky most of the time and hit where it was going. But once I started lowering that bow weight and then realizing I need to really work on my technique.
So essentially, you just told everybody, the way to do this is to work your way up, because technique is first.
Starting from the top.
If you work your way down, the biggest thing that I found is injury. And it also runs people away from it. Oh, man, my fingers hurt, my back hurts, my whatever. And they just put it down. If they start with a lower pounds, get the technique correct, then you slowly integrate the poundage. And you can do much anything you want to because your technique is solid. And then anybody that we have to back down, you know, it's like starting over. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, like cutting your feet off and say, okay, learn how to walk again.
Well, John, how many times have we used the example that they don't build a house from the top down, they build it from the ground up.
Foundation.
When we're talking to the kids or teaching the kids, it all starts with a good, solid foundation, and you work from there.
That's right.
Well, I went backwards, unfortunately. And then it happens.
I mean, and we were all, I was self-taught. I mean, I shot lots of deer before I saw the first coach in my whole entire archery extravaganza. But I shot a lot of deer, was successful. I have shot a pig with a trad bow just because I said, I'm going to try this.
I want to see that picture.
Me too.
I was one tickled pink guy, because I mean, it's a whole lot of work. I mean, it's, you know, The weekend warrior picks up a compound bow. He shoots about 10 or 12 times, and he feels like he's, you know, confident enough to go do what he do at 20 yards, 30 yards maybe. But, you know, the 20-yard, 30-yard shot with a recurve is a total different monster, or with a traditional setup is a total different monster. It's a whole lot longer a piece of equipment that you have to maneuver and not let them animals see you. And deer can see you move anything.
So. From a long ways away.
And, and I'm glad you're saying that, John, because I, you know, I'm not the greatest competitive archer, which I'm gradually getting better, but even for hunting, I shoot every day I can. Yeah. I shoot, you know, there's days I take breaks, but even if I can only shoot 3 or 4 arrows, I put my time into those three or four arrows.
3 or 4 great arrows is better than 100 halfway down there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, once you pick up this equipment and you get used to your setup and your bow and your arrows, I mean, it just, you're not there. It's a constantly effort. It's a constant effort to keep working on this technique, on your breathing, on where I want that, how I want that sight picture to look, where I should hold, where I should put my arrow point, and just try to execute the best shot process possible.
Well, that's just awesome. Well, you had mentioned the Bow Hunters of Georgia, and I guess, you know, you started getting in with those guys here locally and started hanging out and shooting at different places and that kind of thing. Tell us more about that organization.
So Traditional Bow Hunters of Georgia was started in the late 80s, early 90s. And one of the forefronts of that was a man a lot of people know out of Athens was Dan Quillian.
Yeah.
Dan Quillian was a longbow. You know, I got the bamboo. I got 2 bamboo long hunters in my house right now. I'm a bow collector as well. I got 12 bows that I probably shouldn't have.
We all are, man.
But Dan Quillian was a big factor in getting traditional archery in America. Really, you could go on tradgang.com and there's a dedicated section just on Dan Quillian, just to say how big of a name he was.
He's a legend, man.
He's a legend.
He's a legend in the traditional archery world.
So there's a rumor, you know, Dan had some health issues and he wind up having to have his leg amputated. But there was a bowyer out of Columbia, South Carolina that helped Dan make his bows, Owen Jeffries. And I think it's Fox Archery. I could be wrong. And if anyone's listening out there, if I'm wrong, I apologize. But I'm pretty sure it's Fox Archery out of Columbia, South Carolina. And he fashioned Dan a limb. He laminated a limb. And that was Dan's, like that Blade Runner guy from South Africa in the Olympics.
Right.
And Dan had a bow limb as his
prosthetic leg.
Yes, sir.
How cool is that?
But, you know, so Traditional Bow Hunters of Georgia is we're not a target archery organization. We do host shoots. There's three shoots a year, a northern zone shoot, a southern zone shoot, and a central zone shoot. But we're more geared towards traditional hunting. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we have a president and we have bylaws and all that. And this is actually election year. And we run the Dan Quillian state shoot is our state shoot. It's in March. I think Tim's taking it over this year. We may move it back a little bit because we always hit rain out there. That's held at the Rock Ranch out in Barnesville, Thomaston area.
Okay.
And the Rock Ranch is owned by the Chick-fil-A folks. So they allow us to go there and host our shoot there. Big cow.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's really cool. It's beautiful. You can camp. There's food. There's vendors. I mean, it's nice. It's a really nice platform for trad people to get together. And it's a competitive shoot. I mean, there's some slick shooters.
We might have to take a Georgia Archery podcast out there and just set up and get a little insight on the traditional bow hunters of Georgia and the state shoot.
It's a whole different, you know, the more I got into it, the more the world of traditional archery opened up to me. And there's people that have been doing
It's funny how it's like a well-kept secret. I joke about it all the time, but they have a secret handshake. And then if you get the handshake correct, then we know you're a trad guy and then we can talk about everything. But, you know, in compounders are the same way, you know, was the podcast yesterday. I could name a bunch of hot, compounders and I couldn't name the recurvers and I apologize for that, but it's because that's the world I'm in. And so the same thing happens with the trad guys. That's the world they're in. And that world is a lot bigger than we think. You know, as a bow hunter or as a tournament archer, we don't know about that little piece of the puzzle, but it's bigger than you think. Just look at Lancaster on the competitive side, mm-hmm. the growth that they had for the bare bow division.
From 18 to 19.
Yeah, 1 year, it was twice as many or more.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and the more you get better at it, the more you feel confident that you could hit your mark or hit your target or put down some animals, clean kill shots. The more you get into it, it's like a snowball effect, really, for me. Back to traditional bow hunters of Georgia. They host a bunch of hunts too, and we mainly hunt on public land, WMAs. There's a squirrel hunt coming up in August we're doing at Clybell. It's a 1-day squirrel hunt. So we'll be walking around stump shooting and shooting at squirrels with bow. And there's a guy who lives in Arnoldsville that I know who's a stone cold killer. The most he killed in 1 year was like he killed 26 squirrels with his bow.
26.
Jeez Louise.
With a long bow and a recurve. He killed like 24 or 26 squirrels, gray squirrels.
Wow. Now, is there a limit on gray squirrels?
15 a day from August 15th till February 15th.
Shoot 26 in 1 day.
That was 1 season, though. He killed 24.
24 in a season 24. Is still.
Dude, I couldn't hit 24 in a lifetime with no sight.
With a 22.
Well, I don't know about that now.
That guy's country. He eats them. I mean, he's Brunswick stew. He's eating them all. He's eating everything he shoots.
I ain't got no problem frying up some squirrel and rice and gravy now. I eat them too. That's wild rat right there, man.
You mentioned you have that shoot. That's in March, whatever you said. It's
yeah, that might be changing this year, but okay. We usually have it first half of the year, I'll say.
All right. And then you have they host two other shoots.
Yeah, there's a northern zone shoot, and then there's a southern zone shoot. They do scoring. I'm not sure if there's awards or anything, but it's more like a get together. You know, they have lunch and you do some swapping. You do some gear swap, and it's always like a nice little get together.
Just a day that's set up to get out of the house, to go talk trad talk, hang out with some like minded folks, shoot some bows, eat some food. Yeah,
and just have a good time.
And it's very family orientated. I mean, people bring their kids, their wives. I mean, I know I can name several families that their whole family comes out for the event. You know. The wife shooting, the dad shooting, the young son shooting, the brother, the sister shooting. They'll bring their cousins. They'll bring their nephews and nieces. I mean, you'll have 10, 12 people from one family shooting some of these trad shoots, you know, just a lot of fun.
Sounds like it. That sounds like a big family event, like a family reunion. You do it 3 times a year, you know, and get to see everybody.
Hey, we kind of have an event like that, but sometimes it's in different states. Well, a lot of times it's in different states. We don't always get to go to them, but, you know, we have events like that. You come out of retirement and went to one just a while back.
The ASA tour is like a family event because you get to see everybody, you know, 6 shoots a year, you know, and then you go different places. And some, you know, some go to all and some, you know, all go to some is the way it looks like for, you know, most folks that do that. And 9 years of retirement, I came out and it was like a whole home week. But, yeah, I mean, that sounds like a blast. So what's the website if somebody's interested in looking or trying to find, you know, trad? Give some information on where to find things for trad.
So if you really want to get into trad for Georgia, obviously GON, Georgia Outdoor News, is initially how I found out. We have Facebook, Traditional Bow Hunters of Georgia. I have I started like an unaffiliated thing on Facebook or group. It's Georgia Traditional Bow Benders, and I'll always post information for Traditional Bow Hunters of Georgia because I am a member and an affiliate of that club.
All right. So what is yours?
Traditional Bow Hunter, Traditional Bow Benders of Georgia.
Georgia Bow Benders on Facebook.
That's right. Georgia Bow Benders on Facebook. And basically what I did is there's actually a small group of folks out here that shoot trad. And I'd wind up seeing them at NGT, which is North Georgia, which is in Gainesville. So that's about an hour and a half away.
Mm-hmm.
And then SGT, South Georgia Traditional Club, they're in Ellaville, Georgia. That's about 2 hour ride.
Yeah, that's down around Smithville, Americus.
Yep. So area. Between Athens, Covington, Macon, Eatonton, we got a good 12 to 15 guys on hand that I know. Some guys are out in Stockbridge and McDonough, but we get together, and that's why I started the club, so I can get together with guys locally. And I did it for more hunting on public land locally. So I like going hunting with buddies on public land. I don't like to go alone. I'm not right. scared or anything. I think it's good to go with someone on public land.
Right.
It's just a thing I do. And why not do it with some of my tracks? And then we got Rock Hawk to shoot at. We got Clyde Bell, and this is compounders too. Mm-hmm. We got the one out in Stockbridge, Panola Mountain State Park. We have and then you guys run these local shoots here. So you guys, that all that stuff falls within the Georgia Bowbenders, I would say, region, you know?
I got you. Matter of fact, didn't IBO just have their trad shoot? And didn't somebody in this area make a podium?
Correct. So Tim Simpson, he competed in senior trad. He took fourth in the IBO that was held at, it's the Howard Hill Classic.
Yep, the Howard Hill.
And I think it was the IBO Mid-America tournament. So there was two archery tournaments going on at the same time, same place, but like from across the path from each other. So one was the IBO, one was the Howard Hill. I believe the Howard Hill, you can shoot as many times as you wanted and hand in your top score. The IBO, whatever you shot, that was your score.
It was the one and done.
And Ryan Jones.
Yep, that's exactly.
Ryan Jones wind up.
Ryan Jones.
He wind up taking the first place in the longbow division with his wooden arrows. And he also.
Wooden arrows?
Yep. Yeah, that's cool. He's shooting Port Orfords or Cedar. And
wow.
He went up against a gentleman, Robert Harper, who is another Georgia bow bender. He's from Stockbridge. And Robert Harper actually volunteered in the 96 Olympics to help retrieve arrows. He told me that. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
But he makes some awesome strings, and I think he helps out at the Army and Navy store down that way, or he used to be involved with that Army and Navy store. But Robert Harper, want to talk about the guy. He was shooting lefty when I first met him, and I said, oh, I didn't know you were lefty, and he said, I'm not. I said, well, why are you shooting lefty? And he had a Black Widow lefty bow. He said, oh, I'm trying to beat my target panic for my right hand shooting. I was like, what? So this guy's shooting a trad bow lefty, and I'm thinking he's pretty good. And he says, oh, I don't even shoot this way. And he shoots the other way, and he's hitting tens like crazy. Pretty interesting guy. But he wind up beating Ryan in a shootout. He beat him by 2 points on the Howard Hill side of it. I think they shot from the white stake. But those local guys who went out there did a pretty good showing.
Well, that's why I hit that. It's because when we was talking about it, the local guys went to Florida and showed out. Well, on the trad side, we had local guys go to that shoot and show out also. So, like we've said before, Georgia just has a lot of archery and a lot of great archers.
Yeah, the talent pool, like I said on the last podcast, the talent pool in the state of Georgia for the sport of archery is ridiculous, man. I mean, you wouldn't know it if you didn't live here, potentially, I guess, but we've got a lot of great archers in a lot of different disciplines.
And I got reasoning for that, why archery in the South is so strong. You want to hear it?
Sure.
And this goes back to history. There's a book. It's called The Witchery of Archery. There was two brothers. They were twins. They were from the Florida Panhandle. We're talking after the Civil War, late 1800s. They started, I believe, one of those national organizations we talked about, and they had Osage Orange self-bows. But after the Civil War, part of war, when you lose a war, is that you have to submit.
You have to fit your
firearms and weapons. And okay. So what people could not go and shoot a deer and eat. So the Southerners got really crafty, which they are.
Eat.
They got to eat. So they got good at making their own bows and putting down some animals. And that's, I believe, was the start of the roots of why archery is so great. And there's a lot of great, I mean, there's some bad dudes out here putting some animals down. I'm on the compound side and on the trad side. So, and I've seen some really good compound guys transition really well in the bare bow and traditional. So, you know, we're rich in history here with archery, which when I first moved down here, I'm like, they love their guns down here. I said, I ain't ever going to find some trad archery groups. And then, you know, this whole world opened up with traditional bow hunters of Georgia. And,
doesn't traditional bow hunters of Georgia have a trailer that they carry around and do things with some?
We do. There's a youth archery department. The name is Thomas. Who runs that department? He's out of Griffin, the trailer and the targets.
Yep, always at his place. Yep.
But what me and Tony are working on is actually trying to help. We got in contact with Charlie Elliott, mm-hmm. their events staff coordinator, and we're going to try to coordinate something. If it don't happen this year, no big deal. But they want us to help with one of their summer programs with getting kids involved in hunting, and they want to include archery into that. And you know, I guess trad archery is an easy way for kids to pick up a bow and just kind of get introduced to it. But we're working with them to try to get a date pinned down, maybe second week, fourth week in July. Sorry.
That's awesome. Like I know that in years past that I've seen the trailer at some events, where they pull out and let everybody just, and so that the, you know, other kids can get a taste of the trad side of things. You know, everybody walks in, wants to, you know, the compound bow is by far the biggest seller everywhere because, you know, it's, you know, for hunting. I mean, it's just what people do. But if you give somebody a taste of the trad side and how much fun stump shooting really is, or shooting flu arrows, it's a whole lot of fun. And it's not about, I can't miss that X. Oh my gosh, if I miss that 12. Oh my goodness, I'm just so far out of the mix. No, these guys are like, hey, just shoot the sucker till he's dead. Let's go. And it's a whole lot of fun. Those guys have it's a cut up great time. So
kind of like when me and you shoot 3D together.
Yeah, it's a cut up great time, no doubt.
Dude, I hit it in the ear.
Look at the eyeball.
Pierced the nose. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we were talking off air a while ago, or before we got started, about, you know, you mentioned that there's a lot of successful bow hunters or compounders that move over into traditional, and I would not be one of those dudes. Man, I have a hard enough time hitting what I'm aiming at with a compound bow. I cannot imagine taking the sight, the release, and the rest away from me. I'd be lost.
I think if you dedicated yourself to it, Robbie, you'd be all right with it. I mean, you have the fundamentals down already, which I think you're ahead of. You were ahead of me when I started because I didn't have any fundamentals. Like John said, I was self-taught. So I'm out there whipping
arrows. Well, I was too.
I didn't even know how to tune arrows. You know what I mean?
My first bow was my dad did not have any idea what he was doing when he bought me my first bow. I mean, it was a competition bow. And at that time, I didn't even know competition archery even existed. And I shot it with fingers a lot like you did. Didn't know anything about release aids. I actually had a good friend of mine, Eric Strum, and his stepdaddy, Chris. They're the ones that actually kind of introduced me into the world of bow hunting with a compound bow. But I think it would be fun to hunt with a trad bow. I don't know that I'd ever want to get into the target side of the world.
All right, everybody just heard it, right? Robbie's going to switch.
No.
Robbie just said it'll be fun.
I think it would be fun.
He's going to Kentucky in the bare bow division. He's going to string walk.
Negative. I would go with a dozen arrows, and I'd make it through 12 targets, and I'd have to come home because I wouldn't be able to finish the last.
It's funny you say that. My first ever 3D event I ever went to, I lost 2 dozen arrows that day, and I don't even know where they went. They broke on rocks and bent. I had all aluminum. They bent, broke, and by the end of the day, I told my wife, I said, I got to buy more arrows. Where'd I get arrows from?
Oh, but, yeah, I mean, I think it'd be fun to shoot a deer with a trad bow. And when I get to that point, I might have to holler at you to help me because I don't even know where to begin when it comes to that. I know a little bit about, you know, tuning the arrows because of being in the store and all. A lot of that stuff I have to resort back to Steve because he's much more experienced in that aspect than I am. It's got my curiosity piqued just a little bit.
Better be careful because once you sling a deer with one, I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I have a hard enough time hitting what I'm aiming at with a sight. I don't need to take the sight away.
But that's the cool thing about it is it doesn't have to be that. It's got to be perfect enough. It doesn't have to be X perfect.
Hold up. You shot your last deer, not even looking at your sight. So don't be quiet. Don't even go there. Anyway, that's a story for another time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was looking at my sight. It was a little. Yeah, I was looking at my sight.
Yep. So we talked to John, and you know, like you said, where to find him on Georgia Bowbenders. He's probably going to start making a couple of, you know, in blogs or some writing up some things, and then you'll start seeing that pushed out on our website along with on his areas and everywhere else. And so that if you have some trad questions, you know, or if you have some more trad information and you want to talk to us about it, you know where to find us. It's georgiaarchery.com. It's easy, and you can send us a message and that kind of thing. So we was talking about, you know, everybody knows now where to find him, you know, where to get involved with the trad stuff. And it's a, like I said, it's an event, and they're great folks, and they don't look down on wheelies too bad. We joke about it all the time. Take your training wheels off, right?
Yeah. I don't say that, but
I'm leaving mine on.
You've heard that before.
Leaving mine on.
Take the training wheels off. But one thing I did want to plug, John, if I can, is
more than welcome to. That's what you're here for.
If we're local and listening, I know we talked about a lot, but if you have time, August 10th, Saturday, between 4 and 9 o'clock, Georgia Wildlife Federation is the Traditional Bow Hunters of Georgia annual banquet. And it is awesome. It's an awesome banquet. We have guest speakers come in. We had Clay Hayes last year, who is a big primitive guy. He makes bows out in Idaho, and kills elk and stuff with arrows he makes.
Cool.
He's a pretty neat guy. We had him last year. The year before, we had this guy named TJ Conrads. He's the owner and CEO of Traditional Bowhunter Magazine.
Yep.
A few years back, we had Fred Eichler come out. We had Fred Aspel come out. And this year, we got a guy named Matt Schuster. He's going to be our guest speaker. He's the president of the Pro Bowhunter Society, which is another organization. But what they do, they lobby, and they're up to par on the laws for bow hunting.
Yeah, they're fighting for your rights.
They're the
to
ones
hunt.
Going to bat for us that we don't even see.
They're the NRA of archery.
Gotcha.
Is how I could clarify that.
That's great. And what's the date, and where's it at again?
August 10th, Georgia Wildlife Federation, right off Hazelbrand Road in Covington. Literally 10 minutes from here.
Do you have to buy a ticket or anything to that event?
I believe it's, I don't have the numbers offhand, $5 to $10 to come in. You get a meal, and you get to meet some really great folks.
And you can buy the tickets at the door?
Yes, sir.
Need to get us that information so we can get up on the Georgia Archery webpage and Facebook page. Yeah,
if you get a flyer, we can definitely spread the word.
But that is our number one way of recruiting members. And it's a great way for folks that are just interested. Like, say you were interested, Robbie, you just go and hang out and you start meeting some people, and you know, it ain't as scary as you think, you know, coming from the wheels to the limbs, you know, but, you know, they'll put your arm around you. They were the most welcoming people, and I'm a Yankee, and I went to a Georgia event all by myself with my bow. And they put their arm right around me and said, come on and shoot with us.
And now you have some great friends out of it.
Pretty much my only friends are through Traditional Archery.
Come on now.
We're not traditional guys now. And we're still considered friends.
We are friends.
Yep. So,
we'll be closer. I think he said that as in we'll be closer friends once we lose the wheels.
Yeah. I got you. I tell you, the other thing is that I, you know, we all have day jobs. So what do you do for a living? And go ahead and tell everybody, because they may need some of your services.
So I'm owner and operator of Johnny Green Tree Care. I run out of Social Circle. I cover Newton, Green, parts of Gwinnett, and parts of Rockdale, pretty much on this I-20 corridor is my area. But I am a certified arborist. And
do me a favor, just what is an arborist?
Okay, so you have a tree guy that everyone calls a tree guy, but an arborist is like a landscaper, a horticulturalist, kind of meshed together with a tree guy.
That's a lot of big words.
And a lot more learning.
So our thing is more, I would say an arborist is more tree preservation, so fertilizing, diagnosing trees for disease and insects, pruning, proper pruning. It isn't just all taken down.
Yeah, not just come and cut it down.
So there's more than just, hey, dude, I got a tree that I need out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But we, you know, we are capable of taking down the big boys, too. So, you know, I just finished up a job in Boswick over here. Great client of mine, and we print just a ton of ornamental, you know, we made it look pretty.
So nice. What's the guy on the Karate Kid movie with the bonsai tree?
Miyagi?
Miyagi. So you're the Miyagi of Social Circle Tree.
I don't know if I could hold a candle, Miyagi. Miyagi's pretty good. He'd probably slap his hands together and heal the tree, you know, when he did that hand thing.
Right. And give everybody that phone number to how they can reach you.
That would be 770-856-1921, and that is a direct line to me.
Say it one more time.
770-856-1921.
So if you need the Miyagi to check out your tree, give him a call. We always want to, you know, we appreciate you coming in, talking about trad. I mean, you enlighten us on things in the world of trad, and all our listeners, I mean, I think they've learned something today. And the event that you're having would be another way to learn more about trad.
John, I do got a question for him, kind of on the arborist side of I'm not asking for a tree to be taken down. I'm curious. All right, you deal with a lot of wood when it comes to the trees, and you're a traditional archer. Have you ever thought about making your own bow? Because some of the wood or some of the trees that you take down, I would imagine that you look at and you can see it, the pattern or whatnot. Man, that's really pretty.
So to interject here, Robbie, the most sought out bow wood, if we're going primitive and guys cutting trees down and splitting them and carving them into bows, that would be Osage Orange, which is in the mulberry family. Mm-hmm. And actually, you can use a mulberry locally here to make a primitive bow. But
Osage Orange is not local.
Osage is not very local. I think in Northwest Georgia, you'll start seeing it naturally. Every once in a while, you'll see them growing here, but it's not. What I see a lot of, and what's a great bow to start out with, is hickory. I have made two hickory bows. Mm-hmm. Nothing I'm tempted to bring in the woods to try to crack out of a hog or a deer, but there is an art to that, too.
And I was just curious.
Hickory would be the, you know, if someone wanted to start after hearing this podcast, I'd say get a hickory, stave, split it.
Something to cut out, play, to learn.
Yeah, I was just curious. Being a tree guy, being a trad guy, I mean, had you ever thought of going that primitive and actually making a bow to play with? And two, had you ever done it? So, yeah, I guess you have.
So, yeah, I made the bows. I feel I'm not to the point yet where I can make that bow efficient enough to put – I would like to make a bow, put an animal down, get it mounted, or get a cape made out of it, and then just hang the bow up, because I'm really into these ILF bows. So.
I did that. say, I did that.
That's right.
And that's an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah, John or I, and Steve and I, are Vincent over here, anybody that shoots a bow with wheels, the chances of us making a bow with wheels – and going to shooting a deer with it is slim to none.
not going to happen.
I don't have a CNC machine in the shop at home or here, so I don't think I'm going to be making any bow that I can shoot a deer with. But a trad guy like yourself with some tools, some
there's actually a
saws
guy
and whittles or
you could actually do it all with rasps and hatchets. You could literally take a log that looks like a log with the bark on it.
Right.
Split it, strip the bark off, let it dry a little bit.
And turn it into a bow that you could actually kill something with.
Correct.
Yeah, we can't do that with wheels.
There's a guy from the South Georgia club. His name, we call him Hatchet Dan, but Hatchet Dan's a mason by trade, but Hatchet Dan is awesome at woodworking too. And Hatchet Dan, you'll be at a campground with Hatchet Dan. He'll take a hatchet, he'll go cut a tree down, and he'll whittle a little bow, put a string on it, and he'll shoot it that day. Like, the guy's amazing. But you meet a lot of interesting, amazing people. So many different talented people doing trad.
I don't do it. I don't. It's not my.
It's not your circle.
It's not my forte, so to speak. It's not my circle. I had no idea that it was as big as you say.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was, excuse me, up until now, I was completely clueless that world, as you say, is as big as it is.
So the big one, the what we call the Super Bowl, and I have not had a chance to go up there, but up in Pennsylvania, it's Denton Ski Resort. They call it ETAR. It's Eastern Traditional Archery Rendezvous, Rendezvous, however you want to say it.
Rendezvous.
And, thank you.
From the cell. Rendezvous.
Rendezvous. But, you know, you could ride the ski lifts, and there's 3D ranges everywhere, and it's a huge gathering. I think they get 1,000 people more.
Ride to the top and walk your way down.
Mm-hmm. So
that's cool.
Tennessee Classics, another big one. This Howard Hill one was a big one. And then, you know, we got the ASAs and the IBOs, and I started getting more into competitive archery, which brought me to meet you guys.
Right. Well, I just wanted to hit on the fact or the point that, you know, it is much bigger than most realize, because I was one of those guys that just didn't know that side of the world is as big as it is.
And there's different layers to trad too. There's different bows setups. There's primitive, there's longbow, there's guys shooting wooden arrows, there's guys shooting carbons like myself, there's guys shooting metal riser bows, which I said I would never do, and it's all Tim Simpson's fault. He got me hooked into it, so.
Yeah, you got one of those.
I was protesting the metal bow. I said, that ain't traditional enough, and then once I started shooting an ILF bow and saw how you could change the limbs and everything, I got real excited. So, you know, I hunt with a Hoyt Satori. I love the bow. This ain't a plug for Hoyt, but that bow is awesome.
Gotcha.
Well, we appreciate your time. You appreciate you coming in. Like I said, we're probably going to get together, and you'll probably write some little pieces just so we can keep the trad moving on our webpage and that type of thing. So,
get your typing skills going.
That's right. We'll make sure that spell check's working well.
I actually have a degree in English, written communication, so it shouldn't be a problem.
The things you find out about guys.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, oh boy, hope he don't read what I post.
I wanted to make movies, but I wound up being an arborist.
Well, we do appreciate your time today. Anything else you want to add?
No, man. Thanks again for having me. It was a pleasure. Maybe next year or later on in the year, I'd love to come on again.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're welcome anytime.
We can announce some of the hunts we're going to be having. And like I said, traditional bow hunters of Georgia, and I'm Georgia traditional bow benders.
Yep. So
you find us on Facebook, find us on GON, and the tradbowgeorgia.com is, you know, you get a ton of information. But if you're interested, we'd love to have you. The banquet, again, August 10th, Saturday, between 4 and 9. I'll get the pricing for you at the gate. I think the gate price is, I believe it's between $5 and $10.
Yeah.
And you meet a lot of great people. There's prizes. They raffle off custom bows. There's bows. There's silent auction. I mean, it's a really good event. And a lot of great people there. So
sounds like a good time.
If you're interested and you want to get more interested, it's a good introductory to get your feet wet into traditional archery.
Cool. Well, we appreciate it. Again, like I said, we enjoyed the talk and the eye opener. Like I said, with Robbie, it's the same way. It's like that world is a lot bigger than anybody really knows, because, you know, you in your own, you know, everybody keeps their nose to the grindstone, does what they do. And so we were just trying to open it up. And I mean, that's another side of archery that's been, you know, it's huge. And, you know, a lot of guys say, well, I got into archery because the shooting with a gun was too easy, you know. And then the next part is, well, now wheels are too easy. Let's go more trad. And that's the tradition, you know. And those are diehard guys. And, you know, like you said, there's so many different levels and that type of thing. So I appreciate your time. And I guess that about it. What do you think, Robbie? That's it?
Yeah, man. I can't think of anything else other than make sure to check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, as John called it on the last one, Twitter.
That's right.
Hit us up, Georgia Archery, georgiaarchery.com. We've got a bunch more of these shows like today. I ain't going to say on the books, but planned. Yeah. We want to continue to do this, and we appreciate all the love and support. I mean, it's been kind of cool to get text messages or Facebook messages. Man, that, you know, wake up to it, or just, yeah, it just,
my drive to work just got easier.
Yeah, my drive to work just got easier. Man, I really, or, you know, like I woke up this morning and read one. Dude, I really enjoyed the podcast last night. I appreciate you talking about, you know, some of the shooters that you mentioned. those kind of things give me the want and the drive to continue to do it and do more of it.
Like I said earlier, this is the best podcast in Georgia for archery. I listen to it. Every time you guys post a new one, I listen to it.
I don't know how many more is in Georgia, so I think we might win that one by default.
Hey, we got it.
We'll take it.
That's right.
You got to start somewhere, right?
That's right.
Well, if that's the end, until next time, I'm Big John.
And I'm Robbie.
And that's John.
See you, everybody. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Bye.